Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You don't have time to include anxiety in your day-to-day life, so I want you to head over to quietbegins.com and check out the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety. Don't give anxiety the time of day. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on the show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, I don't know if this is going to be more of a motivational show today. I almost always love to be practical. I want to give you practical application, practical steps, practical techniques to change something in your life today. But I'm going to zoom out a little bit and become a little bit more vision-oriented. Not too much, but, you know, what is your future holding for you? And the reason I'm zooming out a little bit, making a little bit more big picture today, is because when I look into the future, I see something that may or may not happen. And I also see what steps am I taking? You know, I look at my life and ask myself, what steps am I taking today to make that future happen? I hesitate talking about this because we hear what you think about, you bring about, and I don't want it to turn into that kind of episode. What I want to do is highlight something that keeps coming up, not only for me, but for people that write into me, people that are listening, people that reach out to me, my clients and such. And what I hear is, someday I'll do that. Someday I will do that. Someday, when the time is right, when it's ready, when things line up, when so-and-so does this, and then I'll be ready. Then I'll be ready to go and take the steps I want to take so that I can start creating the life I want. It reminds me of the first show that I ever had with Jeff Olson, who wrote The Slight Edge. And he says, you know, you got to do something every day toward the future that you want to build. Not his words, my words, but that was pretty much it. Everything you do on a daily basis creates a compound effect of what gets created later on. And this is why I look at the steps I take today. They are a chain event of what happens in the future. So whatever outcome happens in the future, it was because the steps I took on a daily basis to get there. Doesn't mean I'm absolutely 100% responsible for everything that happened on that path, because sometimes something falls from the sky and hits your head. At the same time, there are systems out there, belief systems, that say, well, if you made the choice to be in that space and something fell on your head, then you are in part responsible for that thing falling on your head. And I actually go along with that belief system because I don't want someone to take away all of my control of my life. There are things out of our control in life, and then there are things that happen in our life that we should absolutely keep responsibility for. I mean, let's just say that you're in a bad relationship, and you might think to yourself, I'm in a terrible relationship. I wish he or she would change. But they don't. But here I am staying in this terrible relationship. Yeah, but I can't leave. I don't have the money. I'm locked in here. He or she is the breadwinner. This is our house together. So on and so forth. There's a lot of really good reasons we can't leave a bad situation. And so we cling on to those reasons instead of clinging on to the part that we can be responsible for. And one of those things is taking a step forward into something that we want to create in our future. And so the reason I'm talking about this today is because, like I said, I hear from a lot of people, listeners and clients alike, that tell me I'm not ready to do XYZ. I'm not ready to leave this relationship. I'm not ready to take that job or leave this job. I'm not ready to date again or stop dating. I'm not ready to get married or get divorced. There's just a lot of not readies. There's also I'm too afraid to. I'm too afraid to quit this job. I'm too afraid to invest in that. I am too afraid to commit to that. And so there are decisions that we can make in our life that we are choosing to wait on for one reason or another, and probably all good reasons. So this is, you know, our thought process. We have something that comes to mind that says, well, we can't do it now. No, I can't do this yet because I have this blank. I have this fear. I have to wait. I have to whatever, like I said. And having this delays steps toward what we want. And so when we delay those steps, the thought that comes to mind, and this has come to my mind many times, I'll do it soon, or I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll get to it when I can, because I just don't have the time right now, or I can't make the time. And so I'm not telling you that you need to make time or take steps or anything like that today. I'm not saying just go out there and take action no matter what that action is. That is your choice. You can absolutely take action or not. And for all intents and purposes, you probably can or can't for whatever reason, and those reasons are legit. However, what I would like you to do is to keep in mind how many times you say, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. Just keep that in mind. How many times does that come up? I will get to it. I don't know about you, but when I was going through all my relationships and all the jobs I've had in my life and all the projects and things that came up, I was very good at saying, I'm working on it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get to it. It became a habit, and that habit was very hard to break because it justified my procrastination. It justified my reasoning, whether that reasoning was sound or not. It sometimes justified the fact that I didn't want to do it at all. It justified it because if I believed myself when I said, I'm working on it, then I didn't have to do anything about it. I mean, think about the free pass that you give yourself when you say, I'll get to it. I'm working on it. I'll do it later. Again, I'm not saying there aren't legitimate reasons to do this. I'm just asking you to look at a pattern. If there's a pattern in your life where you are delaying for some reason, then I think it's important to understand why you're really delaying. Well, I'm afraid. Well, I don't have enough money. Well, this, well, that. Yeah, that's okay. That's great. You can look at those patterns and understand those about yourself, but dig a little deeper. For example, when I was married, my wife would say something about, I don't know, probably one of my many dysfunctions, and I would say, I'm working on it. Like if it was my judgment issues. It was always a huge issue in our relationship. I would tell her, yes, I'm definitely working on it. I'm reading. I am thinking about going to therapy. I am watching videos. I was moving in that direction. I was taking steps, maybe not on a daily basis, but it was always on my mind. And I believed because it was always on my mind, I was heading in the right direction. But just having it in your mind, I don't want to say this, isn't good enough. I mean, it is. like I said, I don't want to say it because having it in your mind is the first step. You got to bring it to mind. You got to bring it as a thought and then turn that thought into some sort of action. Okay, having it in my mind is great, but what's my pattern? Is my pattern always, well, it's still in my mind. That means I'm still going in the right direction. How long did I work on my own behaviors, my own dysfunctional behaviors, my own emotionally abusive behaviors, in my marriage especially, until I realized, wait, I've been saying the same thing for years. The same thing. It's almost like I forgot the last few years of me saying that thing. And it took her leaving and the divorce and me actually going through some reflection time, a lot of reflection time, and a lot of inner healing from some old emotional wounds to come to a place of knowing that the words that I was using were delay tactics. They were justification for my procrastination. And the more I could justify it, the more I didn't have to deal with it. And so this is a great thought to have. When you catch yourself delaying something that you, quote, should do, or want to do, or want to try, or want to figure out, is that if you find yourself in an old pattern of, yes, I'm going to do that, yes, that's my next step, yes, I want to do that, but if it's something old, if it's old words coming out of your mouth from many, many months or years ago, and those words still exist, then maybe you're not moving the needle too much. Maybe you're not getting the momentum you need to continue forging ahead and making the outcome that you want later on in life. Because we know what happens, and maybe not all of us admit this, but when some event, some trauma happens to us, we might feel like we are the victim of that trauma, and not connect the dots of our inaction every time we thought about we were going to do something or do something different. Like tracing it back to 5 years ago when you finally were going to take steps toward changing something in your life or doing something different, but you never did. And you were always thinking about it and you were always working on it, but now you have this outcome that appeared out of nowhere, and now you feel like you're a victim and the world is against you, or that person is against you, and they are the cause of this unwanted outcome that you definitely don't like. And either you're able to connect the dots saying, you know what, I should have done something back then, or not, and think to yourself, well, I had no control over that because that's who that person is. Yet 5 years ago, you might have thought to yourself, you know what, I really need to stay away from that person. I really need to start making different decisions in my life. You might have had thoughts like that, depending on the situation you're in, about changing something, but you didn't. And so because you didn't take action, or enough action even, the outcome that you didn't want appears, and now we have the choice of playing the victim or being responsible for that chain of events that occurred to lead up to the outcome that you didn't like. And I'm not saying it's your fault that something like that happened. I'm just asking you to zoom out, look at the big picture of what choices you've made in life and what your patterns are going through life every day, and ask yourself, is what I've done, the choices I've made on a daily basis, have anything to do with this outcome that appeared? If you're standing in the wrong spot at the right time and something falls on your head, you can look at that and say, I didn't cause that. I'm not in control of that. I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or the right place at the right time, depending on how you look at it. So that's not my fault. Yet, does relinquishing your power and all your responsibility for that event serve you at all? That's kind of where I'm leading with this, is that how much of you letting go of your responsibility for what's happening in your life, how does that serve you? How much does that help you? Because if you are getting results that you don't want over and over and over again, then you have to look at what you're doing that keeps leading to these results. I mean, you don't have to do that, but I think it helps to do that. Because when you feel like a victim to the world, how much power does that feel like you have? How much energy does that give you? I'm a victim to the world, and everything happens to me, and nothing I do is right. When I say those words, I feel like I've lost my power. I feel like there's nothing I can do. And I know there are people who are listening right now saying, but I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can. And things just happen to me. I am the unluckiest person I know. And things happen. Even if that's true, giving all your power away to the cause of those things, instead of looking at your past and thinking, at what point did my life start to change? What steps did I take then? What steps am I taking now? Am I continuing to play the victim? Because there are people who, yes, they are very unlucky. If we believe in luck, let's just say that they are very unlucky and things keep happening to them. And it can feel defeating. Absolutely. It can feel like the world is against you and nothing you do is right. Even if that's true, I mean, even if cosmically that's true and there's nothing you can do and you're just unlucky, I still say taking responsibility for the steps you took to get there, to receive this unwanted, unresourceful, yucky, nasty outcome, taking responsibility gives you some power to change something in the future. And you might have to take bigger steps. You might have to take bigger steps than you've ever taken to change things. The example I use on this show a lot is honoring your boundaries. When you honor your personal boundaries with someone that you've never honored them with before, you might change your entire life. That's what happened to me. When I honored my boundaries to my stepfather for the first time in my life, in my 40s, it just took a while, but sometimes it does, it changed my entire life. Not because he left me alone after that, but I felt powerful. I've never felt powerful in front of him. I felt powerful with other people, in other places, in other times, but I've never felt my power with him. And when you suddenly discover this power that you didn't have before, because you made a choice to take a huge step towards something that scared the hell out of you, that is going to feel like nothing you've ever felt. It's going to give you energy. It's going to give you a new direction in life. It's going to give you a new vision, new ideas about your future, new hope, new optimism. And I'm not saying that every time you do this, it's going to be the greatest impact in the world. I'm saying that when you do it for yourself, when you take a stand inside you and tell yourself, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to take this mistreatment. I'm not going to take this abuse. I'm not going to take it anymore because I care about me. I love me. I want to be happy. And when I take this other road, I'm never happy. And I always get these crappy outcomes. And I don't like my life that way. But what would happen if I did the exact opposite of what I used to do? What would happen then? Where would I be? Who would I be? How would I feel about myself? Boy, when you connect and really dive into that and allow that to start changing your reactions in life, when you allow that to be a part of your thinking, and then somebody comes along and tries to steal your power, or not allow you to have your power, not allow you to be in your power, which is really all about standing up for yourself and knowing that you deserve respect, knowing that you deserve to be treated kindly, knowing that you are worthy and you should be seen as a valuable friend, family member, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. You are valuable. You are worthy. And when somebody treats you as anything less and you go along with it, you devalue yourself. You make yourself worth less. And so this is one of those things where you tell yourself, I'm going to take responsibility from this point on. I'm going to take responsibility for myself. So if something hits me in the head because I was standing in that spot at that moment, I'm going to take responsibility and say, well, if I hadn't been standing there at that moment, I wouldn't have gotten hit on the head. Yeah, but that was out of my control. Well, do you want your power or not? That's all I'm saying. If you want your power, find something that you're responsible for so that you can keep some of it. As soon as you let go of that responsibility and give your power away, I mean, this is my perspective. You may not agree with it, but I really believe that as soon as you let go of all responsibility and say, they did that to me, it is their fault, there's nothing I could have done, you may be right on all levels. And I may agree with you, quite frankly. I may say, yeah, you're right. That shouldn't have happened to you because they did it. When you do that, you let go of what gives you strength, of what gives you the ability to stand up and say, no, that's not going to happen anymore. Because at that moment, when you embrace that, when you absorb that feeling, those thoughts, that is not going to happen to me anymore, that's when you claim your power. That's when you step into being responsible for your life. That's when you might take the biggest steps that you've ever taken for yourself. And that could be what changes your life forever. We'll be right back after this. Can't tell you how often I got anxiety when it came to finances. Like when I was married, my wife and I lost both of our jobs. It was around the mortgage crisis, and I also lost my condo and that I was renting out because the renter stopped paying and nobody wanted to buy the condo, and we had no more money coming in. And eventually we had nothing in our bank account. And there's no worse feeling, at least at that time for me, in that time of life, there was no worse feeling than watching my bank account fizzle down to nothing. The good news is, when you have nothing, there's nowhere else to go. I mean, once you're there, there's nowhere else to go. I see anxiety like that too. You know, I have a product called the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety, so that, you know, we were talking about keeping your power, so that you can keep your power when the anxiety starts and get through it and get out of it. And when you can get out of it, you can continue living your life without anxiety taking over or the fears that come with anxiety. Then you can start living your life again. A lot of people just carry anxiety with them everywhere they go, and they don't take the steps that they want to take to create the outcomes that they want. Everything I was talking about in the last segment. When you have all these fears and you don't take these steps, guess what happens? You repeat what happened in the past. You repeat the outcomes that make you the victim. And I don't want that for you. And I realize that sometimes it's very hard to change the things in your life because of fears, because of other reasons, because of people. There's a lot of things that are hard to change. So this is my contribution to the world with the Safe Empowerment System to help you get through the anxiety. What's interesting is when you discover what you really fear. Like I feared having $0 in my bank account. And then that actually happens. That fear goes away. This is how I feel about anxiety. When you reach the peak of anxiety and what you actually fear comes true, there's nothing more to be anxious about, at least around that subject. If you fear someone yelling at you and then they yell at you, what could be worse? Well, they might hit me. Well, what if they do? Then they hit you. Now what? What could be worse? Suddenly, your fears change. I don't want any of this for you, of course, but suddenly your fears change. They transform. When what you fear comes true, what you fear no longer exists. And I like to look at anxiety that way as well. And the Safe Empowerment System touches on that here and there, and absolutely I tell my own story in the system that I narrate throughout, and it's a powerful system to help you through and out of your anxiety. So I recommend you check it out. Go to quietbegins.com. And whether you have social anxiety or not, I have found it useful for all kinds of anxiety. And maybe it'll help you too. Quietbegins.com. All right, welcome back. I just want to kind of mention something that will come up if you decide that you want to take a big step forward in something. If you decide that you finally want to tackle this challenge that you have been working on in yourself. And it is the idea that you might be so nervous that you don't want to do it. And let me tell you something about nervousness. And this is something that I had to learn the hard way, because there's no easy way sometimes to get through some of the challenges in life. Maybe all the time. There's a lot that might need to happen inside of you in order to get through a challenge. And, you know, one of the first things that can come up when there's a challenge in your life and you want to make a change is that you just get nervous. You might be fearful. And when you're fearful, it's hard to take a step forward because you don't want a certain outcome to happen in that moment. If I say this to this person, they might do X. If I do this, then this person might get angry. Then this person might leave me. Then this person might fire me. We have fears. So these fears kick in and make us nervous, make us hesitate, make us delay another day. And when that happens, I just want you to keep this in mind. Keep in mind that your nervousness, your fear, is what is keeping you from overcoming a limitation in that moment. And what I mean by that is if you are able to surpass that fear or feel the fear and move through it anyway, what's going to happen is that what you have feared will now become something of the past because you have moved through or over the fear anyway to discover what's on the other side. And we limit ourselves because we don't want to experience what's on the other side, good or bad sometimes. We might know that there's a good outcome on the other side, but I'm just too afraid to take this step, or I'm just too afraid to say those words. But we have to look at what has been happening, and are we holding on to that fear, and is it limiting us? Because if it's limiting you, then you hold on to the fear. You lose your power. How do you get your power back? Let's do the thing we fear so that we can get our power back, so that we can get past this limitation. It's a limitation. It keeps you from getting any further, causing you to be in a rut. If I never say anything to this person, then that person will go away eventually, and I won't have to deal with it until a week later or a month later or whenever. So we keep these fears inside of us so that when the challenge arises again, that fear will come up to keep us safe. That's what we think. We think we are protected if we have enough fear that keeps us from doing something that will help us surpass the fear. It's kind of odd when you think about it that way, because when you start looking at fear as what's stopping you from surpassing a limitation, then you might start to head in the direction of, well, when I do something to overcome that fear, or I feel the fear and do it anyway, and that fear is now behind me, then anything's possible. And I can let go of that fear. Yeah, but what if it comes true? That'll be the first question. What if what I fear comes true? You know, it could happen. And this is where I come back to: life is just too short to hold on to the fears for the rest of your life. Because tomorrow it could all be over. I don't want to be dismal, but it could be. Something could happen and your life could be taken away. Or the world could end. Who knows? This is why I don't want to hold on to limitations. I don't want to hold on to fear. I don't want you to hold on to fear. I want you to see these challenges that come up in your life as an opportunity to expand yourself, an opportunity for higher levels of happiness, an opportunity for less stress. I mean, this sounds like my old intros. Less stress and more happiness, so that you can create the life you want. That's the outcome that I think most of us, if not all of us, want. Creating the life we want. How do I do that? Well, I have these fears that kick in. How do I get past these fears? You take a few steps today, and then you take a few steps more tomorrow. You just have to make sure that you don't fall into old patterns where you keep repeating stagnation. If you keep repeating the things you do to stay in a rut, then you don't get anywhere. The words, I'm working on it, may be true, but don't fool yourself and don't fool other people. What did you do today to work on it? What step did you take? Who did you call? Who did you email? Who did you connect with? What did you do for yourself to move yourself toward the greater good of you? What did you do for yourself to move you into a space of, I am closer than I've ever been? So that when the inner dialogue kicks in and says, yeah, but you're so far away, you can retort by saying, yeah, but I'm closer than I've ever been. And that's a better feeling. That is you taking your power back, or at least keeping a little bit more of it than you did before. Last thing you want to do is give your power away. And there are a lot of ways to do that, many that I've outlined in this episode. But keep this in mind. Your power makes you proud of who you are. Your power helps you look in the mirror and say, damn, I'm great. Your power is the fuel to keep you on fire, to keep moving forward. I'm back to that motivational stage now. Keep moving forward. Keep going in the direction that you want to go. Keep taking steps that bring you one step closer to what you want in your life. And when you feel like a victim, you absolutely have every right to feel like a victim, because sometimes you are. Sometimes you are the victim to something or someone. And you do have a right to say, he did that to me. She did that to me. I will never take that away from you, because even that has power in it. As long as you don't let go of, what can I do from this point on, so that that never happens to me again. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be right back. Say some thank yous, my final words, and my goodbye after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you to go to quietbegins.com. If you're experiencing anxiety or social anxiety of any sort, check out the Safe Empowerment System for Social Anxiety and give yourself an opportunity to quiet your mind today. quietbegins.com. And I want to thank the supporters of The Overwhelmed Brain. We could not do this without you. If you don't see your name on the board at theoverwhelmedbrain.com/supporters, let me know. I want to put you up there. Those who have donated or have been supporters for at least 6 months, you're going up on the wall, because I appreciate you and I want to show you off to the world. These are the people that support the show. And if you want to support the show, head over to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. Not only is that a place to show your support, but you also get all the free private episodes and workbooks and the new 1 minute videos that I'm creating to help you get some momentum in a minute. You know, we were talking about getting some momentum a little bit every day. That's what I'm hoping to do with those little videos. Patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. Thank you, patrons and supporters. I appreciate you. And everyone listening appreciates you too, because we're still here. So if you find value in the show, head over to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. And I want to tell you about my other show, Love and Abuse. If you have toxic family, toxic friends, a toxic partner, or you're just trying to figure out how to communicate with people without it turning into a brawl or a guilt-riddled mess, Love and Abuse will help you learn about emotionally abusive and manipulative behavior so that you can avoid toxic situations and keep your power. It's really what it comes down to. I want you to keep your power. Head over to loveandabuse.com or look for Love and Abuse in your favorite podcast player. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I talk about my marriage a lot. I don't know how much detail you know. You know, I met the woman I married back in 2005, 2006, and we were together for 4 years, and I asked her to marry me, and we were married for another 4 years, and things just went downhill the whole time. I mean, it went downhill from day seven. I mean, it was pretty much, I got emotionally triggered from the first week that we were together, and that emotional trigger kept coming up over and over again. And I made it hard for her. Because I was triggered, I made our marriage challenging for her and me, quite frankly. And because it was so challenging, you know, we talk about the compound effect of what can happen. It can work in reverse. the compound effect of my emotional triggers creating a rift getting larger and larger and larger every single day, every single month, every single year, until the point where she could not love me anymore. I totally get it. I wouldn't love me anymore if I put myself through what I put her through. And I take responsibility for what I did. I take responsibility because I want the ability to change who that is, to change from who I was to where I am today and who I'm going to be tomorrow. I want that ability. I need that ability to change who I was so that I can reflect on what didn't work and become introspective on how I can make the changes in my life to project into the future what those changes will look like if I continue along this path. So if you're looking at the forward momentum of something in your life, it isn't always positive. If we look at what we're doing every day, if we look at the patterns in our life and how they play out every day, are those patterns leading to something happy every day or toward happiness? I mean, it's not always rainbows and unicorns, but can we do our best to have this overall pattern that leads to more love and connection, less fear, less anger? Are the patterns in our life leading in a good direction, or are they leading in a bad direction? You know, you define bad, but I look at bad as it makes me unhappy. I am less happy than I am happy. I am miserable. I consider that bad. I don't want to go in that direction. I know if I hold on to this anger about my stepfather that I had many years ago, that my life in that area would continue going in a bad direction because I would never want to see him. I would never want to associate with him. I would never want to talk about him. There would be many areas in my life that I was limited because I was holding on to something that I hadn't resolved. And how did I resolve it? I took a huge leap of faith and honored myself with the person that I feared most of my life. Or all of it. I mean, ever since I was one. And I'm not saying this is easy, and I'm not saying it's always right. Sometimes you can't face people. Sometimes you have people in your life that are just too dangerous to face. Or for whatever reason, you just can't stand up to them or say what you want or do what you need to do. And so you might have to take a different route. But the whole point is, how can I live for me and accept my worth and accept that I am lovable and deserve respect and deserve kindness and don't deserve to be hated, don't deserve to be abused or mistreated? Life is too short. Life is too short to not come to a realization of these things inside yourself so that you don't walk around with, you know, what I said earlier, anxiety. How much anxiety do we walk around with because we have these fears and we choose not to address those fears or face those fears or do the thing anyway? I'm not saying that's the answer for everything, but how much time do we spend avoiding the things that we don't want to face just so we don't have to deal with them? And not even realizing that if we did deal with them once and for all and stood our ground or honored ourselves or finally said what we needed to say, regardless of the consequences, that we might actually get to a new level in life, a higher elevation, a more optimistic outlook, a positively projected future. I think that's pretty cool. When you can do that, that is the coolest feeling ever. But you know, a lot of people listening to this show have trouble getting there. That's why I keep doing this. I understand the challenge. I have had that challenge for a good 40 years of my life. I know exactly how it feels. And I'm here to tell you that when you face these fears that are holding you back, that are limiting you in so many ways, that when they're behind you, the light at the end of the tunnel gets a little bit brighter and a little bit bigger and seems much more achievable. But if you never address the fears and you never step into the challenge and you choose to stay in the rut instead of moving a few steps toward what you want, instead of always moving away from what you don't want, then you don't get to see what's possible and you think, this is all there is. This is all there ever will be, and I am unlucky and I will never have what I want and I will never feel happiness. I'm outlining the worst case scenario. Maybe you're in between that. Maybe you're beyond that. Maybe you're on the best life path possible. But I just want to convey that if you are at all pessimistic and in that victim state and really believe that there's nothing you can do, then it might be time to turn things around in your life and take the steps that you absolutely would not have taken before. Because in order to change things in your life, you do sometimes have to take that massive step forward, that massive leap of faith, just to see what happens. And sometimes that feels like stepping into a black hole, a freaking void. I mean, I've done it. I've stepped into the void not knowing if I was going to fall to my death or reach a new level. Holding on to the fear for me was like falling to my death every day. I mean, that's really dramatic. I don't mean to say it that way. But once the fears are gone, or at least a lot of what was holding you back before, once they're gone, you can look back and think, wow, why didn't I do that sooner? And I hear that so often. Why didn't I do that sooner? Now might be the time. And if it's not, just keep an open mind so that you can step into your power. This will help you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.